Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, family? We back. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is your sister, your TT, Rigel, in the building. How it do?
What's up, everybody? Mufasa right here. In the place to be.
That's right. And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back. It's Collective Minds, y'all, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. And we are back for another, hopefully another powerful dialogue. And, you know, before we get started, how was y'all week? And do y'all got any announcements for the family?
My week was great. Another awesome week. So thankful to be able to say that. No announcements. Just want to know about that fight real quick, though, but no announcements on my end. Just thankful to be here.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, Brother Mufasa.
Same here. Week went good, you know. Good productive week. Only announcement that I have is coming up next week, if you're in the St. Louis area, we'll be having a Savior's Day banquet, a Savior's Day Awards banquet for our local Nation of Islam Mosque here, Mosque 28 in St. Louis. So if you're in the area and you want to attend, give us a call at
Another
Mosque 28 in West Lawson. And we'd love to have you come out and join us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so my announcement is, I don't know if y'all got a chance to check out the Pacquiao-Adrian Broner fight. It was a world championship fight. Pacquiao had his belt on the line. And he pretty much whooped AB the whole fight. I mean, he was out punching him. AB basically ran the whole fight. I mean, it was really disgraceful. I hate to say
another one.
You know, AB was talking like he doing this stuff for the hood, but I'm like, brother, what hood was you fighting for? He's talking about, you know, if you was watching the press conference, he's talking about, yeah, I'm going to win, and I put that on God in them, and he was just talking crazy, but he got whooped the whole fight. But that wasn't even the killer part. The killer part was after the fight, when they was interviewing him, you know, the post-fight interview, this fool said he won the fight.
And he
felt like he got robbed. I say, oh, still, man, I can do nothing but a face palm on that one. I'm like, AB, come on, bro. Everybody clearly seen it. The internet has been dragging
it
this boy.
It is what it is.
I was wondering if
you
the brother
like
was
what?
On drugs. I mean, no, there's no way you could feel like that. When you got stunned, he almost got knocked down. Like, I don't know if he was trolling everybody or he really
it is what it
that
is.
He won that fight.
So how did Pacquiao
you know,
look? Did Pacquiao look, was it, did Pacquiao Pacquiao look good or just AB look just that bad?
It was a little bit of both. Pacquiao looked good for a 40-year-old. He was getting some combinations in. He wasn't getting hit a lot. And basically, he was the aggressor the whole fight. And so it was a little bit of both. And then Broner just really didn't look that good. He wasn't throwing enough punch. I think in one round, he threw like eight punches. You mean tell me in 3 minutes you only throw 8 punches?
Oh, my.
So it was one of them type deals. He kind of hyped people up. I think he was just trying to get that bag, you know, this one last time. But
it is what it is.
He'll be fighting on TBS for now. I don't see him getting up.
You say on PBS or TBS?
One of them, PBS, WeTV, but won't be on pay-per-view. He'll be on the all network at 3 p.m. fighting because, it's a wrap. Yeah, it's pretty much a wrap for that, bro.
Judge Judy going to outnumber him.
Oh, Judge Judy is way off. Yeah. He will be done. So, you know, shout out to AB. I think the brother may be going through some things, but to come out and feel like he won that fight was disgraceful because he had an opportunity to just be humble and be like, you know, Pacquiao fought a good fight. I lost, my game went on. That would have been respectable. You dig? But to come out and say that he won.
Look, he could have did what Mike Tyson did. I broke my back.
He could have did. That's what people were saying during the fight. Like, he about to bite his ear or something. He about to do something crazy because that's how bad he was getting whooped. Like, it was disgraceful. It really was. But
remember Mike Tyson, they interviewed him. He like, I broke my back.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember that. So that's all he had to
say.
I mean, it was disgraceful. He should have just bowed out gracefully and humbled himself, but he made it worse. And now he's the joke of the internet, and the internet does not lose, as we all know. But, you know, I digress. You dig? But today, family, radio, we are talking about is masculinity under attack. You dig, it's been a lot going on as far as toxic masculinity. You know, we all talk about the Me Too movement. My personal stance, I believe that black masculinity is definitely under attack. It always has been, but I think they're kind of ramping it up. So we're going to talk about that. This is all in light, too, of a Gillette commercial that my brother sent me that's been getting a lot of press. As far as it was a toxic masculinity ad, people accused it, you know, of being kind of weak and attacking men, you know what I'm saying, as far as the ad go. So we go dive in, talk about that. Make sure y'all give us a call to chime in. The number is 929-477-1697. And we are talking about is masculinity under attack. So, yeah, how y'all want to just dive in, and then we'll get to the call lines here in a second. I guess right to start, how do you feel? I don't know if you got a chance to look at that that ad or commercial that Brother Mufasa sent, but just in general, do you think masculinity is under attack?
I guess I can see why the question is being posed. There is definitely a difference now as it relates to what masculinity should be and how there is. I do see a shift. You know, I do see a shift. Now, as a female, though, I don't mind seeing a bit of a shift, but I do think it's, you know, I think it's a bit concerning because we have to be cautious. You know, and that's what I think you guys heard me speak of the identity being a big problem, too, because that's what happens, the Me Too movement. People identify with this movement. So what it is, it's almost like if you call yourself something, so now you want to watch for it. So any little thing, you're going to make it out to be this and that. So we have to be very careful and wise and you know, what we judge and how we judge things, because I think it's mainly because of people so want to strongly identify with the Me Too movement, and the ones that do strongly identify with it, it's like now they see, their eyes is seeing from a Me Too movement perspective, so they're judging critically judging people's actions, men's actions, you know, from that perspective. And I think that's what makes it
right.
That's what makes it so dangerous, because they're not giving it a fair shot. They're not looking at it, you know, in a fair view. It's like they're looking at it from this perspective at all times. And that's because they have identified with this movement. You know, everything is not going to be that. So I do think, you know, it's a bit overkill, you know, so you have to be, you know, basically cautious. But I do think it is a shift. Like I say, some shift is okay, but when you want to be, like, just relentless on determining and making sure that, you know, these men is doing this and this and that, it creates, you know, it creates this problem that we're having, you know. So it is a concern. I think it's a necessary discussion to have to hopefully prevent such, you know, such aggressiveness about it. It's okay to, you know, want to change some things that didn't work before in the past, but, you know, you just have to, you know, be wise in how you do things.
Right, right. And you brought up the Me Too movement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You brought up the Me Too movement. I thought you answered it. But just to put this out there for the family, I don't know if y'all know that the Me Too movement, a sister actually started that named Tarana Burke. I don't know if y'all seen her. She was kind of on that R. Kelly documentary. So she started the Me Too movement in like 2006, but it actually took off a couple years ago in 2017. With the whole Hollywood and, you know, the people's coming out against Harvey Weinstein. He had all those accusations against him. So that's when the movement really took off in 2017. But it was actually hashtag in 2006. So I just wanted to put that out there in case people didn't know, you know, who started that. Brother Mufasa, masculinity under attack, my brother?
Definitely it is, and I agree with you 100% about black masculinity being under attack. That's been under attack for, you know, thousands of years, you know, but I'm going to stick to just broadening masculinity, because I know you're going to go in on black masculinity.
Facts.
Yeah, it is definitely under attack, and anybody who hasn't looked at that Gillette commercial, you need to look that up. And do your research on that yourself. But if you look at it, like Roger said, the shift is that men, they don't want you to be as masculine as we've been in the past, you know. And you see more of a gay agenda being pushed. You know, I have to be 100 in my feelings on this. I see them pushing more of a gay agenda, where that's okay for, you know, men to sleep around with other men. That's fine. But if a man has two or three wives, he's criminalized for being, I guess, what you want to call super masculine. So you attack that, but you praise up two men rolling in the bed together. That's okay. That's legalized. They can get married. They can do all that together, two men. But one man can't have more than one wife. He's demonized. He's looked at as being a monster. So, yeah, like I said, masculinity is definitely under attack. You can't, I mean, even on the workplace, you can see that you can't even give a female a compliment no more without worrying about you might lose your job. You know, it's one thing to be where you harass someone, but things have gotten to the point now you might just say, hey, you know, how you doing? Nice dress you have on. You can't even compliment the woman because she might say, oh, that's harassment. Go to HR on you, report that, and you called in the office. May even be terminated. Just off of giving someone the compliment. But females compliment each other all the time. I don't think they get called in the office for complimenting each other on how they look or how their hair look. But if a male compliments a woman, oh, man, it's sexual harassment. You know, so, yes, I don't agree with the shift that's going on and them attacking men like, the way this society is attacking us. But I'll go in further as we get into the conversation.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Family, if you're just joining us on Collective Minds, we are talking about is masculinity under attack. Please give us a call. Number is 929-477-1697. We're going to get to the call lines here in 1 second. So I agree that masculinity is under attack. And I say specifically black masculinity, because when it comes to, you know, when it comes to, if we go to the beginning with the Harvey Weinstein and the Hollywood Me Too movement, there was a lot of people coming out against, you know, these white male execs. You had Les Moonves, you had Charlie Rose, who was an anchor on CBS that stepped down due to allegations. You had Matt Lauer, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but the guy from NBC, he had stepped down due to accusations. So my thing is, that's all fine and dandy, but when it comes to actual punishment, you know, when it comes down to actual fines and things like that, it seems to me that the black man is the face of that. So it seems like, you know, it's all a smoke screen until it's actually down to punish these guys. And when a punishment comes, to me, it seems the white males get off and then the black male is the face of, you know, sexual harassment or sexual predatory behavior. And they try to connect toxic masculinity to the black community. They try to attach homophobia to the black community. So I'm just watching it overall and keeping it in the context of the white supremacy system, because at the end of the day, like with the Gillette ad, Gillette is owned by Procter & Gamble, which is a white corporation. So they're not attacking the mainstream white male. You see what I'm saying? Because they're allowed to do what they do. They may call them out, but when it comes, again, to punishment, they're not going to be punished. Remember Nate Parker, who he was accused of rape in 1999 while he was a student at Penn State. And this did not pop, and he actually ended up being acquitted, him and his roommate, of rape. But this story didn't come back up until he dropped The Birth of a Nation, which was the story of Nat Turner. Okay, and when he dropped that, that's a prime example of them going in, talking about sexual harassment. They basically sabotaged that movie due to some allegations he had a few years ago. So that's another example. And then the first big casualty of the whole Me Too movement was Mr. Bill Cosby. You dig what I'm saying? He was the big fish. You know, he was a black man, rich, had a lot of money, elderly, and these allegations came back up, and he ended up getting convicted and sent to jail. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm looking at the pattern of these things and seeing how it's going, and when it actually comes to the punishment, it seems like the black male is the face. Because I don't know if y'all remember, there was a big movement with street harassment and catcalling a couple years ago, where they would have these videos of women walking down the street, and they was like, well, I'm getting street harassed, and, you know, I can't even walk down the street. And a lot of times maybe people would just compliment them or, you know, maybe trying to say they look cute or talk to them. I don't know. But they have put these videos out in order to push this campaign as far as street harassment and catcalling. And they were trying to get some laws on the books to actually stop people from, quote-unquote, street harassment. Now,
that's crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even – it's one thing to harass somebody and assault them, but like my brother Mufasa was saying, it's in this climate, it's difficult. Like, you can't even compliment some women nowadays without that being taken, you know, taken some type of way. So that'd be my thing. And like I say, with the street harassment, they was trying to put laws on the books. And my thing is, the people who would have felt the who would have been impacted most by that law would have been black men. You see what I'm saying? So I'm looking at the entire thing. I think it's a smokescreen. I think this started from the feminist movement. And we know that feminists and white feminists have always had contempt for black men. You know, black females as well, but they use black male, black females to put them in a forefront to go along and march with them and be part of the movement. But at the end of the day, we know the white feminists don't care about black society as a whole. And that's been proven, you know, time and time again. You know, so I digress. I'm going to leave it right there for now, and I will come back to it. We're talking about, is masculinity under attack? Give us a call, family. This is Brother Kev with Roger Starr, Brother Mufasa, and we are Collective Minds Radio. Did you,
want to go to the call line?
Or add something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to add something. Because it was like the movement was really designed, and that first, that campaign that you just recently mentioned, too. It was designed, I'm speaking from just a woman's perspective. Ideally, it was designed to assist us as women and how we are actually being treated by men. And I could be wrong because I haven't read this, but just being logical with it, with different rape cases and date raping and just men that may want to be a little more aggressive about getting things that they want from women. So I think it was more so designed for that. However, like I said before, when you don't know how to use your wisdom and know how to, you know, you don't have to almost just use it. I just want to try to use this crazy example to try to get you guys to understand what I mean. Like a police officer, for example, or just anybody in the workplace, you're not always there. So you want to be able to not look at everybody as a predator. You know, you want to be able to be, you know, be a good judge of character, to, you know, to know how to use wisdom and how to identify, more so just to say, okay, every man is this. But I think it was more so designed to try to just assist us with being, well, protect us, because that do happen, you know, and I'm only speaking from a female's perspective. But I just wanted to just throw that out there, because I don't think it was just created just for nothing, just because, hey, yeah, we're women and you guys are men, we want something to fight for. You know, it was a reason and a purpose behind it, because those things would happen quite often. So I think it was designed for that. But I think
right.
the fight and maybe the word and everything just probably got corrupted, you know, as things
right,
always
go
do, you know. Start off right,
yeah,
but it
go
get
a little
corrupted,
deeper for
you know?
Us. Right, go a little deeper for us, because when you say things like that happen, like what are you, like what specifically are you saying as far as things happening? Are you saying,
okay,
you know,
well,
I don't know, I'll let you say.
I can give you a few examples. I mean, there's plenty of them. I mean, we can even just start like in the workplaces, you know. Some men may, you know, be a little more aggressive with like a secretary or something that has, you know, if he have a secretary, his actions may be a little more aggressive because he, her superior, her boss, and, you know, so his actions could be a little more aggressive. And also, if you are a young lady walking home from school or just walking from the store, and it's a
right.
group of men, just like those ads that you mentioned before, it can go too far. You know, if you're a man, a young lady walks this her regular route, she walks past you guys, and she may be outside, you and your friends, you know, people try to show off, guys, you know, they try to show off and be big and bad. So they may say things. It can be offensive and uncomfortable for the female, you know,
right.
But she may not say nothing. You know, so those types of things, I think that setting can eventually go too far. Because say you a man and you really are attracted to the young lady as you walk past, so you see her, you know, it's almost like you desiring something that you don't have. You make comments, but what happened if it's late at night and she walked past you, or you see her and you by yourself and there's not a lot of people around? How far could that go? So I think the idea is to try to bring a more awareness to, because some men feel like, and I've heard this before, you like it. They may think that females like it. So, you know, if you're not aware of how you're making females feel, then those actions don't get corrected. So I think ideally it was promoted to at least bring some type of awareness. I do think it got corrupted and it went overkill, because now you want to bring in the law and things like that. And I just really think that it was designed at first to bring more awareness to men, to let you know, hey, every woman don't like this. You really are making some women feel uncomfortable. Because the problem is, even we want to go back to this R. Kelly situation, you have older men that would do that to young girls that's coming home from school, saying things to them. And if you're a young
girl and
older man is making these comments towards you, first off, it is definitely inappropriate. And you can't make this young girl feel inappropriate, and you don't want to be numb to such a bad behavior. You don't want to feel like, oh, girl, that's just normal. Because then that's also corrupts it, because you're like, oh, girl, that's just normal. And so it can begin to become normalized when it really shouldn't be.
Right, just like there was another video floating around. It was another video floating around y'all recently with the young lady, the young black girl at the gas station. And it was a group of black guys around harassing her, and, you know, basically saying, hey, you know, acting like they some pimps and, you know, telling her she got to choose up and stuff like that. So I get what you're saying, Roger, that type of behavior has to be combated.
Right. And I think it was probably designed to do that at first, but I think, you know, sometimes we may lose our direction. And how to fix things and how to really, you know, fix it. So because what we got to realize that they try to make it a law because you want to make people be more conscious of it on their own, because they know, they fear they may get in trouble. Because guess what? It starts within us anyway. The man have to think it. So just saying it and making campaigns may not make the man on his own conscious of it, but when you create a law, then they may think a little bit more about it. But it's difficult to create a fair law. So that's why we're in this problem trying to solve it and fix it, because it is a difficult thing to create, you know, because really what it really boils down to, the individuals need some sort of awareness training, or, you know, it has to be fixed with each individually.
Right, because my thing is, I think it just comes down to respect. Like, when you talk about as far as street harassment and catcalling and, you know, approaching women at the job and all these different type of things, even though on the job the difference is there's already laws and codes and rules in place at the job, you know, but when it comes to street harassment and being on the street, there's really not a whole lot in place unless you're, you know, physically assaulted or, you know, feel threatened. But I think that comes back to, you know, respect the individual. It comes down to how we treat women as a society. How do we treat women as a society? You know, what are the things that we're shown growing up? How are men supposed to act, and how are men supposed to treat women? Like, a lot of these things are cultural, and we learn them by way of upbringing, culture, environment, TV, movies, entertainment, all these things. together teach us how to treat one another, and specifically men to women. So as far as the conversation we haven't, you know, having right now, the masculinity is under attack because, like Brother Mufasa had alluded to, this kind of ties in into the LGBTQ movement and gender fluidity and female and male roles and what are the gender roles, and all these type of conversations kind of tie into this, because a lot of what they're trying to push is you can be whatever you want to be, however you feel. You know, if you feel like you're a man, then, and you're a woman, you was born a woman, you feel like you're a man, then hey, that's okay to go ahead and be a man. Like, so the roles are kind of changing. You know, women basically can do, you know, what a man can do, and they saying that a man can do what a woman can do. I don't necessarily take that position. I think they're gender roles for a reason. You dig what I'm saying? We're born with the anatomy that we have for a reason, and our hormones are just different when it comes to men and women. You know, you talk about biologically estrogen and testosterone and all these things. We are just different creatures with different anatomy and body parts in order to, you know, conduct ourselves a certain way. But again, they're trying to blur the lines. Yeah, exactly. We design that way by nature, but they're trying to push that agenda and blur the lines of what these gender roles are.
Right.
So, you know,
that's why I say it has become corrupted, because although I do agree that masculinity is under attack, what I was really trying to bring light to is the reason why it began that way. But I do agree, you know, with what you said, you know, about it being under attack, and, you know, but I think it was, I'm just trying to show why I can, you know, perceive it to have started in the first place, because it do happen, you know. But, you know, hey, that's why we're having a conversation.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Let's get to the phone lines.
Get to the phone lines. If you're just calling us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are talking about is masculinity under attack in our society today. So, yeah, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 929-477-1697. Call us up. Pull up.
Okay, area code 314-448. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
More so a comment. Yeah, I thought this was a very good topic to speak on, first and foremost. Appreciate you all doing it. Second off, yeah, it's no question. I mean, you would have to be blind to not see that it's being under attack. The reason as to why it's being under attack is really simple. The powers that be understand that the number one threat to them is the so-called black man. And in order to, because it's men in general, but this is really specifically geared towards the quote-unquote black man. Because, like
Fact.
I said, the people that are in power understand that the only threat to them is a black man, and specifically a man in terms of threatening the power, because they know women can't take them out of power. Women don't have that power. They don't have that authority. So they're going to uplift the woman over the man. That's what they've done in our households. So that's why it's being done. That's why it's being propagated or whatever.
Right.
But to even go deeper into the situation, men and women are equal. That's just a fact. They try to propagate that. They try to push that in our society, which I think we all would agree is a very non-functioning society, a very unhealthy society. I heard you all talking earlier about I'm sorry I'm talking fast. I'm trying to remember everything that I want to say. But I heard you all talking earlier about people about like how women, you know, can be, you know, mistreated or abused, you know, walking home from school, X, Y, and Z. Well, in a more functioning culture, that doesn't happen, because the woman is way more protected and relegated through their father or through their husband in a functioning society. So you don't get situations like that. And women don't work with men in other societies or more functional societies. so you don't get harassment in the workplace. But those things happen in our society as a result of the constructs that we make in our society. So those things wouldn't be a problem as much in a more healthy society. Women would be more regulated. They would be more monitored. Now, it's in, like I said, we touched back on earlier, it's important to understand that men and women aren't equal. That doesn't mean that we're not equal in terms of being human beings, but it does mean that we have an order.
Right.
That's the man, and that's the Most High, that's the man, and then that's the woman. So
that's
my input on the situation. It's definitely being under attack. You know, it's definitely been an attack, and I believe it's been under attack for those reasons specifically. The short end.
Yes.
All right.
Indeed.
Very good,
we appreciate
Carla.
That.
Very good. Very good.
Appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes. I definitely agree. And we'll get to the call lines, but I do want to reiterate something the caller said, because when we look at society and who controls the information, especially as far as this Gillette ad and, you know, that kind of leads into the toxic masculinity, who controls our society and the flow of information? Largely, that is white males. And then you have the white feminists that come after them, which they may battle with the white male as far as some rights. But at the end of the day, like I said, when it comes to pushing these laws and getting things on the books and deciding who's going to be punished, it's going to be the black male. So they talk about, you know, the masculinity is under attack. And like the caller said, yes, that is true. It's all masculinity, but they're going to pivot and make sure that the black males are punished first, because again, the black male is the biggest threat to society and to the order of things, as far as white supremacy goes. So, you know, that's my position. Like I said, we have a long list of men that have been accused of sexual assault. A lot of cases they've been untrue, some have been true. But the black man is the face of the rape culture. I mean, this even goes back to the turn of the century when they did the first Birth of a Nation, which I don't know if y'all are aware, but by D.W. Griffin, he made the first Birth of a Nation basically about the Klan and why they was created, and black men being rapists and sexual predators, and we got to control the Negro. That was the first movie to be played in the White House. You dig what I'm saying? So that narrative has been pushed throughout history, and it continues up to this day as the black man being the face of sexual predatory behavior. And this is all an extension of that, in my opinion. You know, but I digress again. Let's get to the phone lines, family. Or I don't know if you wanted to respond, Mufasa, to the caller.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the call lines.
Okay, area code 315-767. All of you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Hey there, Collective Minds. This is Brother Zen.
Hey.
I want to start off by saying I got chance. It's been 10 years, but I got a chance tonight to see the arch roll right through St. Louis tonight. It was nice.
That's what's up.
Yep. But now on to the subject. So we understand that this attack on masculinity is, and there's, and we see it today, because they now it's so, they feel so brash and in control that they can purposely throw it in people's faces, like with this Gillette commercial. But we've been under attack as men for almost a century right now. Think back to all those TV shows where the dads are dumb and the moms are keep the dads under control and the kids know how to run things, and dad's just a buffoon who gives them money. Years and years of that.
Marry with children.
It's just now coming to this forefront where we can just see it blatant, because they don't care anymore, because now they know that there's nothing we can do about it as men. So they think. So we know it's been there, but now we have to go into the why. why are they attacking masculinity so harsh? Why are they doing that? And I'll tell you why. The globalists need men to be weak so that when they step up, there's no one in their way. And a bunch of weak men cannot defend the people. They'll all become slaves together. So these women who are doing this, they think they're doing something right. Slavery. Whether they be in rape cages or whether they be out in the fields toiling because they're not pretty enough to be in a rape cage. So I don't I mean,
Let me ask you this, Colin. Are you saying that the women are controlling this narrative as far as attacking masculinity?
No,
are you saying the women are in control?
No, they think they are. They think they are.
Okay.
They've been allowed to think that they are. But there is a small population of people, of globalists, that are trying to destroy the West because the West is the only thing that stands in their way of global domination.
Right,
because our
West
military and our might and our power is too strong. And it's not about white. It's not about black. It's about a few people who want to rule the world.
Who happen to be white.
It is what it is.
And who happen to be white. But they don't care if the people they're ruling are white or black, Hispanic, because they don't see people that way. They see people as resources. They see people as fodder. They see people as a means to an end. They don't see us as human beings. They have a totally different culture than what we. They don't empathize with us. They can't empathize with us. It's impossible for us to get them to empathize with us because they are them. We are us. They might as well be aliens from another planet. We might as well be dogs in their eyes, because that's the way they are brought up culturally. That is their culture. They are an elite group that run everything, and they're trying to get everything all piled up, trying to pull all their cards in. But America is the one holdout. They're ruining Europe. You see what's happening in Europe off of gynocentrism, women in control, and they're destroying that place. And so that they can bring it down.
Right.
Then
so basically what you're saying is, basically what you're saying is you make the men so docile and so weak that they don't even – after time goes on, so many years go by, they don't even know how to be masculine to even defend themselves or their family.
The last of us – yes, the last of us are here. We're it, and we're getting old.
Mm-hmm.
They put all of our young kids – since I was in school, they're putting the young males on Ritalin and on those other ADHD drugs to demasculine them, to feminize them. Look, now, look who directed this. Look who directed this thing. I know, Rigel, you think that there was, you know, meant to be something else. It was accidental that it came out like this. No. Kim Geiger, this woman was born in Australia, raised in her young age, you know, in Australia. Australia has horrible laws on the books dealing with that. It's extremely gynocentric. It's really tough to be a man in Australia. She was raised in London. She's not even an American, but she's making a commercial for Americans. Mm-hmm. She's making a commercial from a European point of view where its masculinity has already been destroyed, to bring it over here to destroy us so we can fall like Europe. This woman is a self-professed, man-hating feminist. Look up
right
her bio.
Now.
Look at the other stuff. Look at the other stuff she's produced. And then Gillette thought, hey, it'd be great to have her produce this commercial for us and tell men, you know. But the other thing is, like you said, it's Procter & Gamble.
Right.
They
have
also
to sign
have
off
holdings.
On it.
But look at it like this here. As a business, they know that what they did was going to have huge backlash because they know that the audience that they're targeting are men, and men don't like this commercial, so they're not going to use that product anymore. So now men are saying, well, I'm going to go to Dollar Shave Club. But guess who owns Dollar Shave Club? Procter & Gamble.
Procter & Gamble, right.
And wow. People aren't seeing the big picture. The corporations are reining in our money. They're trying to. I think they're actually trying to put Gillette out of business to bring all the money, bring everything over there to shut down that aspect of their product. And what better way to do it than this? And then to slap us in the face like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
any manly man was not feeling that commercial.
Yes, exactly. But then you're not going to say it in front of a woman because then they might not get their pee-pee touched. Because if they say it's in front of a woman, then the woman's like, you think what? Yeah, so you got all those white knights out there that are trying to get the pee-pees touched, and they'll follow up and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to respond to what you're saying. And
all right.
It's just me responding. So I have a question. So what do you say about me make, because you said you commented on my comment and you said I was wrong.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with whether or not I'm right or wrong, but I do have a question about it because I'm not speaking from a point of view of a woman who hates men. I'm simply speaking from the point of view of a female that is within this culture and actually see and witness from throughout my life what men and how some men have treated women. So my point is, if these things wasn't true, I'm not the only one that see it. So if these things weren't true, the young lady who you speak of wouldn't have, she wouldn't have that to stand on. It wouldn't be a purpose, if I'm saying this correctly. She would it would have to be something else. I'm saying it's still that, and I'm not saying that what you accusing her of is false. But I'm saying that the situation is there still for her to feed off of, you know. So those things actually do happen, and I'm speaking from a female's perspective, from being someone who have been targeted from men like that. So I'm saying if men didn't, so what do you think would have happened if, say, that really wasn't in a man's makeup to treat women in that fashion sometimes? I'm not saying that it happens with every man, but say men didn't treat women in that fashion. Do you think that this campaign could stand up and still, you know, have room to be here?
Okay. Look, so watching that commercial as many times as I did, I didn't see anything horribly happening to any of the women in that commercial. Nothing horrible happened to any of those women.
That commercial.
Where the guy just wanted to walk out and say, hey, what's up to that girl as she walked by and the dude came out the store and said, not cool, bro. Then how is a man supposed to meet a woman?
Right. I agree. I'm not right.
Or
but
at the party when
when
the girls are dancing in their bikinis and doing all that stuff and trying to get attention, and a guy comes up and films. And then, and that's what these women do. And then this guy says, no, cool.
Now, listen, I'm not
cool. That's what they're doing.
So we're on the same page. I'm not disagreeing with you in that aspect. So we're on the same page. But I wasn't speaking on behalf of that Gillette commercial. I'm just saying in general because
that's what
the
we're
Gillette
talking about.
Commercial came later. No, we're talking about just masculinity being under attack. The Gillette commercial
is
a part of the conversation. But you commented on something that I said, and you said that I was wrong. So I'm talking about that.
I said that when you said that she made it by it wasn't intended the way it came out. It was intended the way it came out. This woman made this commercial. She directed this commercial exactly the way she wanted it. It wasn't accidental. That's the only thing I can say.
Okay,
the only part of your comment that I said anything about. The rest of everything else you said was fine by me. That's your opinion. But she created this commercial the way she wanted it.
Okay, perhaps then you misunderstood what I said. Perhaps I wasn't clear enough in what I said because what I was saying wouldn't have warranted that type of a comment. So let me be a little more clear with what I was saying. So I apologize for not being clear enough. So I'm not really just speaking on behalf of her and her producing the commercial and all that. I'm just saying as a whole. I'm saying the whole movement in a whole as far as being making men aware of how they treat women. I'm saying that I think it was really designed from that perspective in the beginning, not so much as the commercial per se.
Not the commercial.
And the young lady who produced it, not so much from her perspective per se. I'm just saying, just as a whole, I'm saying I think the movement itself was able to be birthed because there is truthfully a group, a certain type of men that actually do heckle at women as they walking down the street, and there are certain group of, or type of men that really do treat women that particular way. So I'm just saying, as a whole, the reason that it was the movement was able to be birthed.
She's talking about the Me Too movement.
Yeah, you're talking about
the Me Too.
That's what she
was talking
about.
Street harassment.
She was speaking on the Me Too movement.
Look at this now, Rigel. Men cannot catcall or tell a woman they look good, or, you know, whistle at women and whatnot. Yet a woman can walk around showing all her feminine parts and being all super feminine and expect a guy to just not be a man. What the hell is wrong with the society where a woman, do you know a woman puts on lipstick? Do you know why a woman puts on lipstick? They think it's because they're supposed to make them look pretty. When a woman is sexually aroused, blood rushes to their lips, which makes them redder, which is a signal to a man that this woman wants to have sex. She's down. When a woman puts on blush or rouge on her cheeks, that is a sign that men pick up that a woman is flushed and would like to have sex. And it triggers a sexual response in men. When a woman wears high heels by themselves, it flexes off their calves and it raises their hips. Raised hips arouses men in a sexual manner.
Yeah.
Women can walk around and tease men all day long, and men just have to sit there and be like, and hold in all that, and they can't say, you look nice. When actually they want to say, can we go hit a bathroom, you and I? Because they just want to say, that skirt looks nice, you know. But women
I'm making a general comment
with men's minds all day long.
Because I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and I'm just going to make a general comment in response to what you're saying, but I'm not saying that what you just said was wrong at all, because I've already expressed my view a couple of weeks ago about this.
Yeah.
So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do like to put out there, which I said a couple of weeks before, I think, and Mufasa and Brother Kevin will remember that I made this point, because my concern is that we always say what you just said, the women do this, the women do that, but the women are reacting to what they know men like, because of I don't think we can just put it on just the women, because of the behavior on both ends. They're not just doing it and men don't like it. It's done because they know men like it. So I think
the men like it, but then when the men
ends,
tell them that they like it, then the men are bad for telling them that they like it. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
They do this because men like it. The man says, I like it, and now it's a Me Too.
Because that's the thing.
I didn't agree with that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, there's a line. There's a line, like we talked about. It's about respect. The men are supposed to, you know, approach the women traditionally and do the quote unquote hunting, if you want to use, for lack of better term. So it's a matter of respect in a lot of ways, and harassment.
Why? We're all equal. We're all the same now.
No, but you cannot. I mean, anybody. If you're talking to anyone, you want to respect that next person. So yes, you can compliment.
But they
a woman,
don't. But the women don't have to respect
saying,
us.
But, no, they do. The women do have the respect, but there's a different dynamic that typically a man can overpower a woman. So you got to look at that dynamic as well. Physically, men are bigger. Men are stronger typically than females. So it comes down to respect and how you actually approach a woman, because I've always said, you know, it's only harassment if you don't want to be bothered or you're maybe not attracted to that man. But if a woman is attracted to that man or she likes him,
she doesn't mind him.
Right.
Coming
and he can
up
do anything
saying,
that they want.
Doing?
That's right.
You look nice.
They can
right.
do anything
so
they
so
want
so
with her.
Right.
So it's that type of thing where if they're
not
feeling
don't be an ugly dude to say hi to a woman, you're going to jail. But if you're a nice looking Chad, you can whip out your thing and say, hey, want to touch this? And she'd be like, yeah. Right there, you know.
But now,
yeah,
in terms of the commercial that the caller was talking about, because now this is where we have to understand, the elite always plays both sides of the fence, okay?
Yep.
So with this ad, like you said, I don't know if people seen the ad, but it's a Gillette ad that's been floating around where there's really the men in the ad really didn't do nothing wrong. There was a scene where
right.
a woman was walking by and a guy was about to approach her, and then another guy came out like, no. There was another
scene
where...
And put his hands on dude.
There was another scene where kids were just playing and wrestling in the backyard at a barbecue, a picnic or something like that, and they kind of jumped on the kids for doing that, which that was no big deal.
Yeah, the guys in there were saying boys going to be boys.
They were saying boys going to be boys. So I think... they knew, again, with the director they chose in this, they knew that it was going to be controversial and kind of cross the line and kind of challenge the typical male role that we have in this society. So they knew that they were kind of going overboard, you know, like I say, by the director they picked, her being a feminist and these, you know, things like that. So they kind of knew the direction they was going, and they wanted to cause some controversy and kind of push the envelope to get a reaction out of people. You know what I'm saying? They knew exactly what they was doing when they made that commercial. And they
well,
typically,
I'm
like
pretty
say,
much done here. I
want to
get another caller.
Yes,
it was. Right.
Aiden took himself off the line. Thanks for calling in.
Right.
If you're just
joining us, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about is masculinity under attack. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697.
Okay.
Let's go to caller.
Let's take caller 314-381. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Well, how you guys doing today, man?
What are you doing?
Peace.
When I took mine out and asked if she wanted to touch it, she ran and started screaming. It draws too much attention. I stopped it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
A person can get locked up like that, man. But I can't speak too much on this issue. I really can't. You know, as far as the masculinity, I only came up in a period of time when there was just one way to obtain your masculine. And we had men, fathers, men around us, and we had them to look at in order to mimic. And I think that, well, as a matter of fact, I know it makes a lot of difference. And if you don't have that as a measurement to go up against. You know, even in societies, when they become men, they go through things. I had a fellow workmate, Jim Hoffman. His son, you know, pardon Native American, his son went through that same routine that the guy did in the movie called Horse. When he was hanging by the fleshy portion of his breast, you know, on his chest, and with hooks, and he had to hang there until it finally pulled through. So that was the method by which his particular ethnic culture went about performing their manhood training. Of course, there's a Nelson Mandela when he was. I think he was in his 20s. He went through the circumcision at that point in his age. So it's hard for me to comment on that. But I know it's one thing, and maybe what you're saying is true. I see a lot of males out here, and I'm talking about blacks. They by no way at all are men. Because men would not let the things go on in their community by their people that look like them the way it goes on. And there's a set prescribed number of ways by which you create men. And one way is, of course, education. And education along not only the academics but also along culture aspects. And they should be taught on how to behave when they are presented with certain opportunities. You know, the old cliche, when you look at women, a newly married female would never know what to look for in a husband if she had never seen that played out between a father and a mother. What's she going to look for? She don't have no
right.
example. What's she going to do? Watch Dr. Phil? Back in the day, read, what was it, Abby? Miss Abby or something like that?
Right, dear Abby.
So all those things are very, very important.
Well, she can watch Love and Hip Hop now and get ideas on how to do that.
Oh, my. That's not a good example.
And,
but I would like to ask the caller a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you a question, caller. So do you, from your personal experience, have you ever witnessed or seen, like, any bad behavior toward men and women relationships? Like, have you noticed how men treat women, or have you noticed any bad behavior toward how a man would treat a woman ever? Have you ever noticed anything like that in your life?
Well, yes, I have, because when you see women having to raise kids by themselves, that in itself is bad behavior.
Yeah.
I've been in, you there in St. Louis. I have a friend who has a barbershop there on Sarah and Martin Luther King. And I remember a couple of times, at least one time, a woman came in. I think she was having the kids' hair cut. There's some boys. And she asked us, the men, say, I need some help raising my sons. Because
wow.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. So the first thing that a normal person would ask, well, where's the father? Well, you don't no need asking that today, because the answer is usually going to be the same. So what she is recognizing and openly admitting to, she's looking for help because she sees the problem. And it is a problem, because at a certain age, when a male child gets to a certain age, then they're going to start having tendencies to go one way and be influenced by other things other than that woman that's talking. So if you
okay,
have
let
a
me
child,
rephrase my question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rephrase my question, because I do agree with that. I understand what your answer was, but I want to rephrase my question, because I was looking for something just a little bit different. Okay, as far as how men approach women in a dating aspect, do you recognize anything that should be corrected in that approach in today's time, how men approach women as far as dating?
Well, what's your name, ma'am?
Rigel. Mm-hmm.
Rigel.
Yes.
That's kind of difficult for me to answer. Let me tell you, you've heard me say that I end up marrying my 10-year-old neighborhood sweetheart. And we approach each other at that age playing house, jacks, and catch a girl, kiss a girl. My wife now, I just could not, being that I married a lady from Ghana, West Africa, I had to go through a whole ordeal before I could marry her. And it's just not going up to her and saying that I want to marry her. I had to go do some family things, traditional things, before I was allowed to marry her. So I'm not the person to ask that question, because
well, not for me. I'm saying you personally, but I'm saying, have you witnessed anything throughout your life? Have you witnessed any as far as just how men, you know, court women nowadays? Have you witnessed or noticed anything? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, I was going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to ask you, Rigel, since you're the female on the call, have you ever experienced street harassment? And do you think it's an epidemic, or do you think it's just, you know, a few isolated cases of people who don't know how to approach women?
Yes, I have. As a female, I have. And
how old are you, Rigel?
You know,
what age were they?
What was the question? Well, I mean, it's been, I've had multiple types of experience just being a female, like young, you know, with older guys saying things or making passes or some guys my age. I mean, I just think it's something that females experience more often than what you guys may realize. You know,
right.
That's
but
why
the,
it's female,
let me,
not, well,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was going to say, let me, because I'm trying to get to, like, the, you know, what was one of the worst experiences you may have experienced where you thought you felt uncomfortable, or you thought this person crossed the line, and how did you handle it? And then the third part is, do you think this is an epidemic, or do you think these are, you know, just a few isolated cases here and there?
That's a good question.
Right, that is a good question. You're about to get a really good answer, too, because the one thing, and it, there are several, but one thing that I've experienced that as a young girl, and I would never forget it, I was young, probably, I know I was less than 10, and the man was, At that young age, I don't have a full concept of his age, but I'm very close when I say he was over 40, maybe 50, or probably even 60. And tried to get me and another cousin of mine who was my age to drink alcohol, to, you know.
I knew it wasn't right.
We didn't do it. And this made me realize, too, and think back to the, some of the females who didn't react like we think they should. Because when we left, we didn't go home and tell our parents. I guess I'm only going to assume because we didn't do anything, I guess maybe we felt like we handled it. I don't know.
That might have been Bill Cosby.
We did not.
Hilarious.
But we didn't go home and say anything. But I always remember that, and my cousin, we still both remember that to this day. Like I said, we were definitely less than 10. I'm over 40 now, and I remember that vividly.
Wow.
and I will never forget it. And that's just one experience.
Yeah, well, that was a predator.
Wow. Right, exactly.
And I
that
do
was
think it is an epidemic. I think it's an epidemic. Because, like I was starting to say, I think it happens more than what a lot of men probably realize. One man who's trying to, you know, flirt with a young lady or just compliment a young lady may think he may be the only one, surprisingly. But no, guess what? When she go around the corner, it's another man like you doing the same thing.
Well, you know,
right.
When East St. Louis High School. You remember over at East St. Louis High School, they had an article in the paper about the teacher that was messing with two of the girls. They got in a fight at the school because he had bought one something. I don't know if it was some shoes or what, and he didn't get the other one. You remember that, Kevin?
Vaguely, but I'm not too familiar with that case.
Yeah.
But
those things do go on, what she just got through claiming. And then again, too, that's another reason. Well, it's kind of hard to do this in America. But if you don't have a very strong society, well, males supposed to protect that society, or should I say that neighborhood,
right,
or that community. Well, if you don't have that, then you have predators like that that will. It's just like in the wild. A tiger will, a lion will prey on the people in the village if they can just walk right in there and snatch one out.
Right.
But you know what, Colin?
Yeah.
it's sad to say, because this incident was from an elder in the community. And now that I'm thinking about it, one of the reasons why I'm probably thinking now, just realizing that we probably felt like we didn't say nothing, we handled it because we had other situations like that, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I say, yes, I do think it's an epidemic. I do think it's an epidemic because it happens so often.
And I don't think parents even teach that. Like you wanted to teach your child how to react under police stop, I don't think parents teach their young people how to react when they, you know, when I was a kid, it was an old white guy used to walk down the street with an overcoat on, and, you know, we approached him. He had, from the thighs up, wasn't nothing. He just had the legs on. So, you know, we didn't know to go home and necessarily tell. It was the neighborhood I was in. Matter of fact, the neighborhood was around Page, right there around the Page Park. Why? That's there now.
Exactly.
So,
the same neighborhood I'm speaking of. And it's
right,
in the same neighborhood. That's why I say it's so normalized. That's why I say we want to try to prevent it from being so normalized, because when it happens, we don't say nothing, like I just said. And another thing, in that same neighborhood, this is another experience that we had walking down the street, which as a parent now, from my past experience as a kid, there's certain things I don't even allow my daughters to do. And I do have those conversations with them because of my experiences. But we will walk. There's been times I've walked down the street, and it was a car twice, the same car, the same gentleman, pulled on the side of me and was had his thing out, you know, going at himself.
Mm-hmm.
This happened twice, same guy, the same car, walking down the street.
And
I didn't go home and tell.
This incident, that I remember, it was not Temple. It was the next block going away from Blackstone. So it was Page, and I guess that's Mount Clair, I'm not sure. But, those things was going on in that neighborhood, and we wasn't told. No, the parents didn't teach it. Talk to us about that then.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, yeah. And I think your point is, too, because, as a father of two young girls, I have a problem with our society as a whole and how we treat women. And, you know, the roles of the men and the women, as far as, you know, how we treat one another, and especially treating women.
What do you teach your daughters now that you got these transgenders, where males can come in the bathroom or probably even in the shower facilities for girls? What do you teach them along those lines?
I mean, right, they're fairly young now. You know, my daughters are 5, but, you know, I teach them to always tell me if someone harasses them or touches them in any kind of way. As far as, you know, looking at transgender and all that, I try to explain to them, you know, that those people are confused.
Well, you don't let them go into
the
public bathrooms by themselves, do you?
No, not at 5 years old. No, I don't let them go in public bathrooms by themselves. I try to prevent even going to public bathrooms, you know, in this day and age. So at this point, it's just a lot of preventative stuff as far as, you know, trying to keep an eye on them, trying to let them know that their body is their temple, it's sacred. You know, you need to respect your body. You need to respect other people, you know, and just try to lay the groundwork for when they get older and we can have those conversations if, you know, men are trying to aggressively approach them or being disrespectful. I'm trying to lay the groundwork for when those conversations come up later, you know, I can reiterate how they need to respect themselves and respect their body.
Do they have cell phones to call?
No. There are no cell phones at this time, because most of the time they're not out of my not out of my sight. Yeah, not out of my sight. And if they are, they're with family members I trust. You dig what I'm saying? So it's a challenge, again, especially with girls. It's a challenge, and I know what Rigel's saying is right and exact, because men, you know, I'm not in a position to say it's an epidemic,
But I will take, you know, my sister Elijah's word, and we need to be more mindful and raise our boys, because those are the ones who are presenting this type of behavior when it comes to aggressively approaching women. There's a difference between courting a woman, being respectful, you know, saying you look nice, and, you know, approaching a woman.
Facts.
As far as there's a difference in grabbing her butt or approaching her or getting mad if she don't want to give you a number, calling her names. Those things are behavior, and those things that we have to look at as a society and how we're raising our men. But again, we got to look at the totality of society, because we have a underground sex culture. You have the pornography industry. You have strip clubs. You have sex in ads and movies, and all these things combined. You know, it can give a young man maybe the wrong impression of how to approach a woman or how to, you know, court a woman that he may be interested in. You know, so we got to do a better job in training our young men to be men and to handle themselves like men. You see what I'm saying? And approach women like men.
It's hardly any facility. I hear where the Boy Scouts about to go bankrupt because of the policy that they adopted with who can be a scoutmaster and so on and so on. They've been hit with these lawsuits. But if you don't have facilities and it's organized and well organized by people that you can trust, and what they are carrying out, the program is something that's approved, it's very difficult for young males, and I guess women too, young girls too, to come under that type of training, that type of influence. But you got to be careful with them, man. You know, nothing is worse is that your child, you don't know where they are. I mean, that has to be a gut-wrenching feeling.
Yeah, that's the worst. And then again, like I say, especially when you have young girls and knowing, you know, how vulnerable they can be, and you have predators out here, you have older men trying to, you know, approach young women, it's very, you know, it kind of puts you in a compromising position. It's like, man, what can you do besides arm them to be the strongest person they can be and respect themselves, respect their bodies, and, you know, come tell their parents if anything goes down. You know, because that's one of the things that Rigel said when her incident went down. She didn't say anything because it was kind of normalized.
It was,
you know what I'm saying?
It was very normalized.
That behavior is not, yeah, that behavior is not normal. Cause
I'm
like,
telling you, I remember in kindergarten, boys hitting girls on their butts throughout school. Teachers not addressing these issues. I'm telling you, it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. And it's a different perspective when you're a female. Cause we're going to get to another call.
I'm going to get off and let somebody else talk.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you calling. Thank you for calling in. Let's get to another call. This CMR is black is masculinity under attack.
Right, and this is going to be our last call because we almost running out, but we got a caller, area code 111, 111, area code.
Yep, that's me. How you guys doing?
Hey,
doing
how are
good.
You?
Peace,
you want to collect the minds? You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I wish that Bianchi had stayed on because I know him, and he and I have been on shows together the last call. Okay. Now, the topic you're talking about is masculinity under attack. It absolutely is. Yes, man should be respectful towards women, but there's hardly anything that's being done today that wasn't done in the past, that in the past a man would be considered a pursuant, an ardent pursuer of a woman.
Right.
And I'm not
right.
talking about the Harvey Weinsteins or the Bill Cosbys. I'm talking about the way a man approaches a woman. Nowadays, you can't even compliment a woman. And this was the framework. You can't even compliment a woman for the last 30 years at the water cooler because that was considered harassment. That was the basis for all this nonsense which is going on today. Now, to teach the men to be respectful, sure. But you should also teach the women, don't act like stuffed pigs. In other words, just because a man touches you on the forearm when he's drunk, that doesn't mean he's going to rape you. Don't cry rape. Don't cry victim. Do what parents and grandparents have been doing for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Get up or get out. or if he's really bothering you, embarrass him in public. But don't go to the extreme and start wanting to call cops or join the Me Too movement simply because some guy is interested in you and you're not interested in him. This is a two-way street, because there are a lot of times when a man doesn't do a damn thing, but he's accused of it. For example, I brushed past a woman a few months ago using the on the train. Rushed past her. Rush hour. So I hit her the side of her butt. She starts accusing me. She says to me, can't you get your genitals out of the way?
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Wow.
It's rush hour, but while we're on the train, other women are brushing up against her because the train is crowded. She says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a matter of selective targeting. It's easy to become a victim. And men, yeah, be respectful towards women, but we can't accept this nonsense that every time a man is accused of something, that he's guilty.
That's right.
Okay? Because you will tear apart the society. And the women will be the major reason for it. Because they love to point fingers at men. But they don't seem to realize the ramifications from coast to coast if you're going to say, well, he groped me. Yeah, he groped you. It was lewd, lascivious. Get over it. Slap him in the face.
Right. Well, now what I would say in response to that caller is I do understand as far as the respect, as far as touching someone's body. It depends on, you know, the type of environment you're at. Like maybe at a nightclub or something, you may touch their elbow or touch their arm to get their attention. That may be different than if you're on the street and you just grab a woman's arm trying to grab. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, no man
there's
does
different
that
levels.
Unless you're a psychopath. Now, we're not, I'm not
this
talking about
psychopaths. This is what I'm saying, but they're out there. Psychopaths out there.
Absolutely, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the men who are considered psychopaths simply because they're being men. Now, we're considered, masculinity now is being considered toxic. What's the definition of that? What's the definition of a toxic man? I want to know.
Indeed, I do too. That's a good question. We would have to ask the feminists, because I would blame that toxic masculinity on a underlying feminist type of movement. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm
so
for
I think
feminist.
It has a lot to do with that.
I'm for the feminist. I'm not for the neo-feminist. I'm for the Betty Friedan feminist. The feminists who want to get out of the home so that they can go work and bring home the money and contribute to the household. I'm for that. But when a woman says, I'm your equal, but doesn't want to pick up the check, doesn't want to shovel the snow, and then wants to blame the man for not wanting to fold some towels, you got to be kidding.
Right. don't want to go out there in the cold and put that start on the car, that alternator.
Right. That's why I'm really clear. Yeah, you guys do all that. Hey, you don't have no problem out of me. I don't want to shovel no snow.
Not me. If
you
I'm
have
sick,
no problem out of me.
Oh, you do that? You can do that?
No, she's saying she respects the rules.
Well, no woman wants to do it. But I'll tell you one thing. If I'm sick,
I totally respect the rules.
Well, I don't. If I'm sick and the snow needs to be shoveled, you bring your ass out there and shovel it. And don't tell me, well, it's going to take me an hour and a half. Well, it takes me a half an hour and 45 minutes to do when I'm healthy. I'm not healthy. It needs to be shoveled. We got to clear the driveway. Do it.
Brother, we're going to have you back on. We're going to have you back on, brother, because you just opened the doorway to another long, deep conversation, and we got to wrap this up. But please, you stay tuned with us, because we definitely want to touch base with you on this.
Good.
But we got to touch base on you with this.
Good, because you cannot tell me you're my equal if you're not going to do the equal stuff that you're able to do. If you, as a woman, as an 11-year-old.
I'm not a man's equal.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the generic you. If you women.
Right.
can tell me you're my equal and don't want to do that stuff, but if you're 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, and you can engage in gymnastics in order to prepare for the Olympics, or you can engage in soccer or want to be on the men's baseball team,
right.
Give me a break. Okay, yeah, I'll be glad to be back on. Don't worry. You'll have a lot of female callers attacking me. I always do. I always get that.
We appreciate you calling. We appreciate you calling now.
Okay.
We're down to the last 5 minutes, y'all. We appreciate you calling. What I want to do is go to Rigel first, then my brother Mufasa, how do we combat the attack on masculinity? And I guess for Rigel, what would you say some of the solutions, or what would you do or tell people as far as, you know, how to approach women or male roles, male masculinity, being under attack? What are some solutions, or what would you say, you know, if you could wrap it up in like a minute or so, minute and a half?
Yeah, I can do that. First and foremost, that's why I love my two daughters that I have. I love them to death. I wouldn't trade them, but I did want to have a boy as well, because I would have definitely started with him to teach him to be an example for other men, because the flaws that I've experienced as a female and growing up was just it starts just like everything else. It starts at home. It starts from within the person, the individuals. If you see your child that has a behavior that needs to be corrected, you need to address it, you know. So you need to teach. It's important to teach your boys how to respect themselves and women. And same with your daughters. You teach them how to respect themselves, you know. You just try to give them knowledge, and that's all that you can do, wisdom and knowledge, you know. You can't just have knowledge without wisdom. So you have to definitely be able to give them a balance so they can recognize things that is not correct. And like the caller said, if you can't do nothing about it, which in most cases we can't, just remove yourself from the situation. Teach your kids that it's okay to remove yourself from a situation. You don't have to feel like, oh, this, I can stay right here, this is a public place. No, sometimes it's okay to remove yourself from a situation or a person or individual. So I think it just starts from home, starts from within, recognizing things in our children that needs to be corrected.
Indeed. Mufasa, how do we combat the attack on masculinity?
Yeah, for lack of time, I'm going to say, first, do not rely on society to raise your children and to define, you know, the role of masculinity and femininity. Find an organization that shapes out the roles that you understand as masculine and feminine to you. Find an organization, get involved, get your family involved, and because sometimes you can't do it all on your own. And, you know, definitely masculinity is under attack, but that's why you have to have young men and women understand what the proper term of masculinity is and what it's all about. So, in quick, find an organization, some type of place where you can go and have rules set out and put in stone so that it teaches young children and adults what being a proper man is all about.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to let you have the last word. Leave it right there. Thank you, callers. Thank you, supporters. Check us out on all social media. This is Collective Minds Radio. We will be back next week. 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7:30 is Collective Minds Radio. For Rigel Starr, Brother Mufasa, and I'm Brother Kev. And we'll see y'all next week with another powerful discussion. Collective Minds, we do not all have to think alike, but we all got to think.
Yes,
indeed.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's earning or a new point, calling with your viewpoint, prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, words to the I'm getting to some things. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks
talking.